Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the beautiful summer that we've had so far, for the camps, the VBS, the Chief Joseph days, the fun activities, vacation, everything that Wallowa County has to offer. We thank you for those that you've entrusted to us to teach as they are in their senior year and heading off towards college. That may they remember what we've taught them, all the way from God's Country Kids up through youth group and beyond, that they can go into the places you're placing them and serving others and showing them your love. We pray all these things in your son's name. Amen. Welcome. If you're joining us for the first time today, we're in the middle of our sermon series called The Lost Cause. And this is where we are looking at the New Testament and looking how Jesus intentionally met people where they are. In fact, today we're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. So you can go ahead and turn your Bibles, your smartphone, your tablets, and put your finger there, because we're going to be looking at how to serve and love based through that scripture. And if you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you in the chair. There's a red Bible there. We're on page 856. And if you don't have a Bible, that one's yours. Take it home. We'd love for you to have a Bible. But first, we have to catch up a little. 2 weeks ago, Darren talked about the woman at the well. We used this series, Chosen, a clip from there, when Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and he met her intentionally, because she was already feeling judged before he showed up. He showed up in the middle of the day, and then Jesus started a conversation with this woman. And after a while, he kind of revealed who he was. And then she immediately tried to stop the conversation, change the subject, make it about something else. And Jesus is like, hang on, I still want to meet you where you are. He did so and changed her life. And then even last week, Darren talked about the importance of eating together in fellowship, and we had some yogurt parfaits. The ironic thing is that we were fellowshipping so well as ECC that no one took pictures. So we have a photo of a picture of a parfait to remind us of how well we did with that fellowship and how important that is. But today we're talking about service and what does that mean to serve in love. And one of the things as the associate pastor I ask is a lot of things for you guys to do in the summer. I asked for VBS help and camp help, Chief Joseph Day's help. I looked back at my calendar in the summer and I said, wow, I ask a lot of people to serve. So as I was writing the sermon, I realized that, and I said, I need to thank you all. Thank you for serving in love, because you make a difference in our youth ministry. You make a difference in Chief Joseph Days, not just for the people who are here in the county, but from all the visitors that come as well. That's the kind of service that we're actually going to be talking about today, because we've been using this acronym, BLESS, right? To begin with prayer, to listen with care, to eat together. And today, we're on the first of the two S's, which means serve in love. And in order to see that, we have to kind of look at our Bible and see, where does Christ show this service in love? And what does this type of love look like? So you got your finger there in the Bible, like I said, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Let's flip there and see what love looks like in the Bible. It reads, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Okay? For the next one, it says, "And God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world, so we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins." It doesn't stop there. "Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to the full expression in us." This section of scripture shows us what does it mean to love others, because that last verse there really shows us that we are being invited into a participation of this love. That it's a big deal that God's choosing to show his love through us. In fact, ECC here has adopted the mission statement: love God, love others, and serve both. We've understood that love and service go hand in hand, but how do we communicate love in service? Well, the short answer is, love is best communicated through actions and not words. Because if we take a look at that last verse, no one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us. And his love is brought to the full expression in us. Not partial, but people see love. People see God when they look at us. I want to share with you a series of stories that is going to help. My hope is that you can hear from these stories and say, wow, that's probably something we shouldn't do. But to kind of compare these things, because in the people in these stories have good intentions, but they have poor executions of those good intentions. And the first question we kind of have to answer is, are we trying to be right, or are we trying to love people well? Perhaps you've met someone who has to be right, or someone who would rather be right than love someone well. In fact, I've tried to be right before and chosen that. And it's damaged the relationship. We need to first look at, how did Jesus deal with this? If Jesus was presented with this situation, how would he deal with that? And we talked about this last week. Darren used a situation from where Jesus was sitting in the synagogue and teaching. The Pharisees brought a man with a shriveled hand, and Jesus healed him. Here in Mark 3, we see that a similar situation, different one, but again, they set a trap for Jesus. They said, okay, well, it's the Sabbath day. It's not right for Jesus, right? It's not right for Jesus to heal on the Sabbath. It's considered work. So they bring this man along. Jesus knows it's a trap. He goes, okay. Is it more lawful to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to kill? They didn't have an answer for him. So he simply said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched out his hand and it was completely restored. This is how we see that Jesus loved someone well. That he didn't do what was right. He didn't do what was right in the culture's eyes, in the Pharisees' eyes, but he did what was right. That man needed that healing. He loved that man well. So let me tell you a bit of a story to see if you can relate. Now, I've changed some of the names in the around the story to protect those involved. But there's a teenager named Nick. And Nick was really mad at God. He blamed God for everything, all the bad things in his life. Told me that God was a bully, he was mean, and that he didn't have anything positive to say about God. Okay, that's fair. I've been working with Nick for some time, and we were exploring different concepts like what's good and what's evil. Why does God allow these things to happen to us? Because Nick needed someone to walk alongside him in his frustrations, in his anger. He says, come, I'll walk with you as we go pursue Christ. However, I had gone to this camp, and during this camp, Jesus was really moving in this camp. We were really fired up. We were all like, yeah, let's go tell the whole world about Jesus. And Nick shows up to pick up one of the other kids in the youth group. And I was like, yes, another moment just to walk one more step with Nick. Like, we're working on it just slowly. So I was sharing situation. I'm just like, man, here's what Jesus did this week for me, Nick. Cue the well-meaning Christian who comes over to the table and says, you just need Jesus. Nick, you put all your trust in Jesus and get over yourself. And I watched as that entire house of cards, years of work. Now, Was that person right? Yeah, of course, we do need Jesus. Did Nick need to put his trust in Jesus? Yes. However, the intention is Nick needed someone to help walk through life with him, not kick him into relationship with Jesus. Maybe you have a coworker who you've been pouring into their lives. You've been sharing your life, just a small, slow walk with Christ with them. And someone comes along, good intentions, and earns that, what's the stereotype? Judgmental Christians. And we have to ask the question again, are we doing what is right, or are we loving people well? Because this ties back to 1 John 4:12, we are the expression of God's love. Everything that we're doing. Darren had these bookmarks printed up, and we're supposed to put the names of the people we want to be praying for on here. So if you haven't yet, please grab one of these. Because maybe this story hits a little bit close to home. Maybe we've chosen to be right in someone's life. You need to write that person's name down and be like, I need to love this person well. Keep it with you. Maybe another name pops into your head as we're going through the sermon of how we can tackle another statement. And this another statement is, sometimes as Christians, we'd rather settle on judgment rather than grace. Again, we have to look, how did Jesus handle this? So we get the story from John chapter 8, verses 3 through 11. This woman was caught in adultery. Jesus was teaching. The Pharisees come, they throw the woman in front of Jesus and say, by the law of Moses, we're able to stone her. What do you say? And Jesus says, okay. Whoever has the first sin, or whoever has no sin, throw the first stone. And they all walk away. So then he confronts the woman and says, where are your accusers? She goes, well, they're all gone. He goes, nor do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. We have to understand that Jesus wasn't approving of what she had done. Jesus was the only one who could have condemned her in that moment. Because again, the whoever has no sin, throw the first stone. He could have. But instead we see grace, love, forgiveness. He chose to show all these things, not condemnation. The next story happened in youth group, May 8, 2008. It was senior testimony night, and we were asked to share our testimonies, how we came to Christ, some of the obstacles that we have in our life, and how being a Christian through high school was difficult. We'd share it with each other and encourage each other. So the student comes up and shares some of the things that he had done, some of the sins, some of the ways that Jesus had forgiven him, and how he knew that Jesus forgave him, and he moved his life and changed his life past that. He was relieved to hear, wow, look, all these other youth group kids coming up and saying, yeah, I go through that too. Thank you. That was really encouraging. However, he was pulled aside by the youth pastor and said, never come back to youth group again. Your sins are too bad of an influence on these kids. And it crushed that kid. Now, as hard as the story is to hear, that kid went on to do some things. That kid went on to Bible college, met a Christian woman, married her, has been part of 3 youth ministries, and is your associate pastor here today. Church, this is an example of how we as Christians have settled for judgment rather than grace. Because as cool as that story is, how many more people have been told that and have walked away? Because this ties back to 1 John again. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us. Because perhaps these stories hit a little close to home. It's easy to draw that line in the sand. Again, what Darren said, to have that us versus them mentality. But we have to return to see, what did Christ do in these situations? How did Christ love those who were lost? And we have to realize that Christ had this, spoke this language of love, not condemnation. When it regards to those who were lost, he always spoke love, not condemnation. Think back of what Darren is preaching, that when Jesus spoke to Zacchaeus, he spoke in love. When Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, he spoke in love. We even see that when Darren was talking about 2 Corinthians, Paul was talking to the church. He was talking in love for those that were lost. This is the type of love that we need to show through our service to others. Because we see this in the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the prodigal son. All those designed for those that are lost. And Jesus shows love with those things. Now, there are times where Jesus spoke harshly to people. But we have to acknowledge that. But we have to also see that those harshest words were for those that were being the hypocritical ones. When he spoke harshly to the Pharisees, when he spoke harshly to those who were supposed to show God's love, those who were supposed to teach God's love, Jesus was the harshest with them. But whenever he spoke to those who were lost, he communicated love. So we get to the point in our sermon, we call it the so what. All right, Sean, look, we've seen some examples of that. Now, what do we do with that? How do we serve in love? What does that look like? Well, we use the quote from Teddy Roosevelt. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. It doesn't matter how many diplomas you have on your wall, how many awards, accomplishments you've had. If people don't think that you care about them, they don't care about how much you know. We have to look at, what does it mean to serve others in love? We have to look at practical ways to help these people who are on your prayer list. Maybe you've wronged them. Maybe you've loved them the wrong way. Or maybe you've chosen to be right. Maybe you've chosen to be judgmental. What's one way you can help these people on your list? Maybe it's chores. Maybe it's simple, just around house cleaning stuff. Maybe it's childcare. Maybe God's blessed you with being a mechanic. Whatever God has blessed you with, you can use that to serve and bless others. Because, church, I'll tell you right now, if you're trying to fit serving God into a box, you're going to realize that it's going to be flowing over that box and over that box and over that box. I'm only going to serve God this one day. Really. God actually finds a way when it's most inconvenient for you or when you're annoyed. Because I have to laugh at God's planning sometimes, because I was working on this sermon and I had to come back to the office late at night because I didn't have an end of the sermon. So God provided one. I was driving here, and as you're going into town, there's a little bridge. There was a big rig pulled over on the side of the bridge, side of the road, hazards flashing. God says, pull over and help him. I don't know anything about a big rig. What do you mean, help him? God says, I know you're annoyed. You're going back to the office. Pull over and help him. Hey, you guys need some help? Yeah, we need jumper cables. I have jumper cables conveniently in the back of my car right now. It took 5 minutes out of my time. I didn't even touch the big rig. I have known nothing about it. It's a good thing I didn't touch the big rig. Took 5 minutes out of my time. The guy comes back. The big rig started. He says, thanks. Here you go. I was like, hey, man, we'd love to see you at Church of the Lake if you're coming. I mean, just maybe you could come up there. It's up at the lake Labor Day weekend. He goes, yeah, sure. And then he leaves. And I go back to the office. And I go, okay, God, okay. there's the ending of my sermon. I have no idea if that guy's going to show up to Church of the Lake. I'm saying this not to toot my own horn, but to show that God will use us even when we're annoyed and when it's inconvenient for us, right? I had no plans to do that. But God goes, I have plans for you to be right there at that right time when you're needed. I really don't carry jumper cables in the back of my car. And for that night, I had one. Church, we have to serve other people without expecting anything in return. We can't have that, you owe me one mentality. Because imagine if I had that with the big rig guy. I'm like, okay, I've helped you. Now next time I'm broken down, you have to find me and come help me out. No, we have to serve without having that, oh, you owe me one. What's a practical way we can do this? Well, we have Church of the Lake coming up. You have people who are in your life on your list. What's a way you can serve them? Show them love. Earn the right to extend that invitation in their life. Because I want to bring this again all the way back around to that verse. No one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us. And his love is brought to full expression in us. Church, God seen in us when we love others in action. We love others well. If we want others to see God, we have to show him to them. We do that in service. I want to end the sermon with a quote that I heard as a teenager that kind of floored me. And still, when I hear it, I go, oh, man, even when I'm annoyed. You may be the only Jesus someone ever sees. And we have to show that love. Because are they going to see me when I'm annoyed, when I'm angry, when I'm frustrated? Like, oh, wow, yeah, that's exactly what I want God in. God has, he has God in his life, and that's exactly what I want. No. It says, we're going to have to love others well. If you'll bow your heads and pray with me. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this expression of love that you show us in Scripture. This ability that you partner along with us to show love to others. That you allow us to be the expression of your love so that others can see you. I pray that when we are annoyed, when we are irritated, when we feel like it's most inconvenient, that you still use us. And you still show God's love when we're in a rush, when we're frustrated, when we have no idea how to fix a big rig. You use us in so many ways to show your love in all the things we do. I pray all these things in your son's name. Amen.